33, Psalm 33, and we're going to look at a verse here in Psalm 33. We're going to focus on the verse number 12, verse number 12. When you get your Bibles there, I want to preach to you just for a few minutes about a kind of a nation that God will bless. Psalm 33, and we're going to be and look at verse number 12. And when you get there, go ahead and stand up for the reading of God's Word if you're able. And you can look there in your Bible, or you can look up here on the screen. I've got either place. And but the Bible says in Psalm 33:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." Thank you. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a great time we've had tonight. I pray you'll bless the preaching of your word in this next few minutes. And all these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in a day and age where our leaders and educators, especially our educators and our leaders, are influenced by just a real liberal mentality. And really, I believe they're trying to deny the Christian heritage and roots, the Christian roots of our country. And young people, I really want you to listen to this. I want you to hear some of these quotes of some of the founding fathers I'm getting ready to read. But the America was founded upon biblical principles, and there's a we must remember that, and that's really the Bible principle is important regardless of what country you live in. And this verse is applicable really to any people that want the blessing of God. But blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Ronald Reagan said this when I was a kid. Ronald Reagan, man, that was my president. I love Ronald Reagan. I really do. I remember when he was going up against Mondale. I don't know if y'all remember that. And I decided it was just anxiety. I was probably in fourth grade, and I was like, man, it's going to be horrible if Mondale wins. And Reagan won. We were so excited. It was just, that was a kind of the peak of just a USA, man. There was the pride in America, and a lot of you guys are like, I don't remember that. That's before I was born. But y'all remember that. But Ronald Reagan, he said this. He says, "If we ever forget that we are a nation under God, we will become a nation that has gone under. As we become a nation that is increasingly forgets God, we are seeing the fruit of this continual." At the very first Continental Congress, the first chaplain of the first Continental Congress, he read the Bible, and he read this verse right here. That's what he started out. He read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." There was a man named Charles Carroll. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. I referenced that this morning. He made this statement. He says, "Grateful to God Almighty, who through the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath conferred on my beloved country in permitting us under the circumstances of mercy to live to the age of 89 and to celebrate the 50th year of independence." A man named John Jay, he wrote a paper called The Federalist Papers. And some of you might have heard that about that in your history classes. But he was the very first Chief Justice. He made this statement. He says, the Bible is the best of all books, for it is the word of God that teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next." What a profound statement. And that was one of our founding fathers, George Washington. Who is George Washington? Come on. What did you say? All right. Okay. Jesse, we're going to have to work on that. All right. All right. Yeah. We're going to have to put her principal through some remedial training, I think. So. All right. George Washington, he wrote this. He says, "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to our duties of religion, to the distinguished character of a patriot, to our highest glory, to adhere to the more distinguished character of a Christian." you know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When a country honors God, God will bless that country. And I want you to see three things as we look here quickly tonight. The first thing I want you to see is that God's principles are right. If we look up here in verse number 4 in this passage, the Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth." The University of Houston examined some 15,000 documents from our founders, and 34% were direct quotes from the Bible. Isn't that amazing? From the founding documents, 34% direct quotes from the Bible. Now, why is this? It's because in this verse, the Bible says, "And all his works are done in truth." The word of God's principles are right, and the word of God is pure. And when you think about the Bible, a lot of people think it's just, you know, some man wrote it, a bunch of men wrote it, and it's just stories or whatever. But that's not true. The Bible says in 2 Peter, verse 22, that says that this came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so some people will say that's just man's book, but I disagree. At Mountain City Baptist, we believe that in 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it, God spoke it. Given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. And so prophecy came not in old time, but we believe in an inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. And there are many men that will reject the Bible. And I will tell you, they do not reject the Bible because it contradicts themselves. They reject the Bible because it contradicts them and their lifestyles. And so we are glad that God is the Lord and God will bless because His principles are right and His Word is pure. But also, the Word of God is powerful. If we look down here in verse number 6, the Bible says, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He spoke it into existence. If you're reading in Genesis, it talks about all the things He created. And there's like four words three words it says, or four, it says five words, and He made the stars also. I mean, it just throws that in there. And He made the stars also. I'll just throw that in there too. I'll make all the stars, innumerable stars. And that's the Word of God, the powerful Word of God. He spoke it into existence. I am glad that God created me. I didn't evolve from, you know, a piece of amoeba or whatever. Someone said, I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey is no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't come from a tree. And so I believe God created, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe in a literal six-day creation. And so we have the Word of God is powerful. It's power to create. It's power to preserve. It's power to be preserved. The Word of God has been preserved throughout history. Many men have tried to destroy the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm, it says that as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So over all these years, over 1,600 years, over 40 different men wrote under inspiration, and all this time the Bible is preserved. It's preserved. That is a miracle. Many people have tried to destroy God's word, but God's word is preserved. It is the power to save. I'm glad. I put my faith in what God says, and He saved me from my sin. It's just a wonderful thing. And one of our former presidents said we are a pluralistic nation. And that might be sadly so these days, but we have our roots in the Bible. And the real answers of your life will never be found in politics. The answers are always found in the Word of God. And one of our other founding fathers, John Adams, he said this. He says, it is the duty of the clergy to speak about the sins of the problems of today. And that's what we must do, Pastor Tyler and I, Brother Chris. We preach, we tell truth, and we preach the Bible. And so, not only that, the principles are right, but I want you to see here that His purposes are unchanging. I want to be a part of God's purpose. I want to be a part of God's program in my life. That's what I want to invest my life in. If we look down here in verse number 10, it says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. You know, He knows the plan of men. He knows all the plan. All the people that think they are so smart and so powerful, God knows all about it. And He laughs at it. He laughs at it. He knows right now that China is trying to infiltrate and build a gigantic multi-billion-dollar road system into Afghanistan and take over that part of the world. He knows all these things. He knows what's going on in Africa. He knows what's going on in Honduras right now. He knows what's going on in Washington and all the corruption. He knows all these devices, and he knows the plan of men, but He knows our heart. He knows our heart. If we look down here in verses 13 through 15, the Bible says this. It says, the Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And so He knows our heart. He knows every person's heart. There was a woman in the 1960s. Her name was Madeline Murray O'Hare. And she fought, she made it her life's mission to get Bibles out of school. And she tried to get her out of school. And so there's people in this room that can remember when maybe there was prayer in school. And she fought for that and got a Supreme Court ruling. And later in her life, she made a statement. She said, "I have failed in marriage. I have failed in motherhood. I have failed in politics. Somebody somewhere loved me." Her own son said this. My mother was not only an evil woman that led many to hell, but he talked about her adultery and all these things about this woman. And God knew her heart. And God knows your heart. God knows the hearts of men. God knows the plans of men. And I'm glad we're a part of a church. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I will build this church. And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's bound to succeed. And I like the old preacher of Nazi Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And they arrested him and they persecuted him for his faith. And they tried to get him to denounce his faith in Christ. And he looked at his Nazi captors and they said, if you'll just denounce it, you can be part of our regime. He says, I would rather die for something that is bound to succeed than live for something that is bound to fail. And Nazi Germany did collapse. The Third Reich fell. And so not only is his purposes are unchanging, but God's provisions are unlimited. If we look down here in verses 20 through 22, the Bible says, "Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us and according as we hope in thee." The Lord God, he brings us strength. He brings us strength. In Isaiah 40, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Not only brings strength, but he brings salvation. In verse number 22, it says, "We hope in thee." Jesus is our hope. He's our hope. I'm glad for hope, aren't you? I love our mission organization's name is Operation Renewed Hope. We go places all over the world where people have absolutely no hope. They have no hope. And you go and you give them some hope, and that changes their whole life. And we can have hope in Christ. The American flag, in most of the world, is known as a symbol of hope. When they see that U.S. flag, they think it says, good guys are here. It's going to be all right. Somebody's going to get us out of this mess. And that's the way in many places. The Philippines, they love the U.S. flag. To them, it's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of liberation. You go to Kosovo, they love the U.S. flag. Man, then people over there were getting this murder, genocide. Horrible things were happening. And the U.S. came in, and that you may not like Bill Clinton, but that was during his presidency, and they love Bill Clinton over there because he got him out of a jam. They see the American flag as a symbol of hope, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I'm from America. I'm glad I live in America. But more of a symbol of hope to me than the American flag is the cross of Christ. That's the greatest sign of hope. My hope is in thee. And you think about, I'm glad to be a U.S. citizen. I really am. I'm glad that I have a U.S. passport. But I'm even more ecstatic that my citizenship is in heaven. And that's where I'm going. And that's where I'll be for eternity. And there's many refugees that want to come to America. And, you know, the greatest hope that these refugees will ever find is not in our country, but in the cross of Christ. And that's what we need to give. You know, if I could lose everything, but if I found Jesus, I found it all. And so the best thing we can do for our country and be a nation that God will bless is to clean up our own hearts and to do what we can do. And righteousness exalteth the nation. And I do. I want my children, I want my grandchildren to grow up in a country that is a little more like what I remember when I was a kid than the way it is right now. But more than that, I want my kids and grandchildren to discover the riches that are in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing. Patrick Henry, you know Patrick Henry. What did he say? Anybody know what Patrick Henry said? Give me liberty. Man, we're going to have to get like Bob Jones history next year or something. Wait, how's that? Oh, she got it? Good job. Give me liberty or give me death. But he said this. He says, "I have given you these things, but if you want real riches, you must come through Jesus Christ for these riches. America is not continuing as it should as a country, but you can continue. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." God tells us in this psalm, he says, here are my principle. hear my purposes, hear my provisions, and will you accept that? Will you trust God by faith? And blessed is the nation, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And I pray that was an encouragement to you tonight. And let's go ahead and close out with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on with our fellowship time tonight. But I appreciate your good attention, and that was a lot of fun. I'm going to ask Brother Steve if he closes in prayer.